Welcome. I'm Halcyon. This is Hug Nation. Today, the theme is don't panic. Douglas Adams and the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy made sure that don't panic and always have a towel was known throughout the galaxy. Notice that my towels almost are always pink because when I do use my hair dye, I immediately destroy any non-pink towel that I own. But the don't panic message that I want to talk about has been hitting me in all these different ways. And, you know, the last few months have been filled with information and news and stories that either have legitimate cause for concern or inflated cause or artificial cause. But there certainly has been a tone of, dare I say, panic. And I know that I have been caught up repeatedly in an anxiety state that crossed the line from being motivating and actually put me in a place of being ineffective and shut down and the exact opposite of being a love warrior. I was a depressed victim, and it was the panic that set in. It was the inability to deal with this negative stories. They became overwhelming and I freaked out. And I think that was like kind of part of the tone of the day. I mean, we're almost encouraged to, like, if you were not panicked, there was kind of this feeling like, if you're not panicked, you're not paying attention. And I think it's important to say there's a difference between being concerned and being aware. Maybe concerned in a state of, like, aware and knowing that things need to change, but staying in a state of groundedness. When you get freaked out, you aren't making the best decisions. I mean, if I've learned anything from action hero movies, it's that when you panic, that's when the hero slaps you in the face and says, get a hold of yourself. So, we can't confuse panic and over-anxiety with concern and care. And there's a few places this week where people came to me in as messengers or as friends or in whatever state, felt like angels bringing me these messages of, hey, don't panic. One of them was my friend David, who, as I was sharing some of my recent inability to you know, process everything that's going on in the world and in inability to get out of depressive states, he was like, look, you know, every generation has this story of the world's ending. This is as bad as it's ever been. You know, the sky is falling. Every generation thinks that. There is always a doomsday cult. There is always the news of the day is always that things are terrible. Now, we have even more effective and more, you know, convincing news now. We've got 24/7 news cycles that, in order to keep our attention, have to really pump up the panic. Not saying that there is not reason for concern. Just saying that we have had cycles of bad scenarios over and over and over through history. He said, look, is this worse than the Crusades and the Inquisition? Is this worse than the Holocaust? No, it's bad. It's things that we need to process, and it's things that we need to deal with without falling into panic. And I struggle with that because, you know, it's a fine line between, you know, accepting that this is the way it is and being motivated to take action in the world. And that has become a theme of Hug Nation for a while now. It keeps coming back because I think this is the new normal. I know people say, this is not the new normal. Well, they're talking about different things. What I'm saying is the new normal is the ability to take in what's wrong with the world, but not slip into a state where you don't care about anything, and not slip into a state where you're panicked. It's this fine line of warrior without falling into fight or flight so that you cannot make good decisions. The next don't panic message that I got was from my friend Wilkes, who, as I was talking to him, he kept bringing up all these alternate news stories and all these narratives about science and about developments in energy and solar and batteries and all these things that are going on right now in the world that are so exciting that if you pay attention to these stories, the world is not falling apart. The world is about to become something incredible. And I actually recorded a conversation with him that we'll be putting on the Hug Nation podcast, the audio podcast. So if you're subscribed on iTunes or another, however you listen to podcasts, then you will very shortly hear that conversation that I had with Wilkes, where he gave a bunch of examples of this technology. But he pointed me in the way of a bunch of resources to try to learn more about all these good things that are happening. Peter Diamandis talks a lot about exponential technologies and how, you know, just like, you know, computers get more and more and more powerful, exponentially so, and smaller, there are lots of technologies like that. And if you project outward in these technologies of energy, for example, the world changes dramatically. And something like a oil pipeline, if you can pull back from the now and look at it from 10, 20 years in the future, it's an entirely different story. 20 years from now, the chance of us relying on fossil fuels or even using fossil fuels at all starts to become laughable, especially as solar is getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And so Wilkes helped me to pull back and look at the world from not in the fight that's happening in the now, but in the more global 10-year, 15-year, 20-year, 30-year perspective of humanity, and know that we are actually on track to solving a bunch of things that are causing the problems of now. And the other thing, you know, just in terms of don't panic, is the news this week at the Dakota Access Pipeline. And I guess maybe this is a segue, because on one hand, this, well, how do I say this? You know, yesterday there was people that were saying, you know, victory. And it was kind of like when George Bush, you know, celebrated victory atop that aircraft carrier of the Gulf War, when, you know, we were far from winning. But I do think there is something to celebrate, for sure. Now, if you've not been following the news of the day, the Army Corps of Engineers has said that they're not going to grant easement and, you know, are going to ask for an environmental, whatever the term is, to do a more deeper environmental evaluation, and also and so that they can't go under the river. And they get to find another path. So that is a victory. However, the Energy Transfer Partners, you know, issued a announcement today. It didn't even wait a day. They didn't even let people, like, I don't understand the strategy behind this, but they said, look, that announcement that came from the government yesterday was just policy. It doesn't mean anything. We're not changing anything. We are finishing this pipeline. And I'm like, what a weird strategy for them. I mean, I assume the only reason they did that is because they don't want their investors to panic, and they don't want their stock price or their evaluation to dip or anything like that because of perception. So they made it assured, no, full speed ahead. Because I would think that if I was at the helm of this battle between all the warriors of righteousness and good and the evil corporation, that if there was a symbolic win that was making them all go, we win, we're going home, I would just be quiet and let them all leave and then go, you know, finish my pipeline instead of telling them, we're going to start, we're, you know, nope, we're not. I don't quite understand that. So here's what we need to celebrate. Being heard. That is significant. Over the course of the last year with the Bernie movement and with the election, it was, and with Black Lives Matter, it was starting to feel like it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how right you are. It doesn't matter how many people or how loud the voice. It just doesn't matter that we are totally ineffective against the forces of the status quo, against the forces of corruption, against the forces of this oppressive system. And so to have a tiny victory, even a symbolic victory, it's like, oh my gosh, we're not invisible. Oh my gosh, there you can be heard. It just takes a lot. But it is kind of exciting when we see what has happened or what did occur. We had this, you know, massive coming together of Native peoples, you know, 200 tribes or something like that, coming together in the biggest way ever, plus a large population of burners and hippies, which I'll get to that another time. And, you know, the exciting final step that happened in the you know, over the weekend really was the arrival of the veterans. And so this combination of all these diverse voices became something that could not be shoveled into, you know, it's not just, oh, the uppity Black people, oh, the, you know, overdramatic Native Americans, oh, the whiny anti-war protest. No, it's all these people. And when you add veterans into it, then it really makes it hard for the conservatives to be like, you know, haha, stupid liberals. Like, actually, you got to listen to the veterans. You have to. Politically, you have to. Unless you're Trump, then you can say, I only value war heroes who don't get caught prisoner. So the danger in this victory is if the media narrative stops paying attention, and if people who have been donating money and resources slow down or stop giving, because everyone who's there after the immediate celebration, every update that I've seen has been like, whoa, 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 this actually could be worse for us because suddenly the attention and the volume and the momentum could stop. And so please don't stop. Don't think that we don't have to continue fighting. As the, you know, captain of the other team said very clearly, we are not stopping building this pipeline. So much strength and appreciation to all of the water protectors and everyone who's been working that. Another part that I think is important to celebrate is how effective citizen journalism has been in this whole fight. When you look at how we had this Facebook Live streaming of protest, how we had drone footage flown by people there, and we have this very hard to argue with counter, you know, media to just like slam in the face of the news conferences and the updates that were coming from the sheriff's department. And so to see like this kind of new form of activism and this new citizen media kind of finding its footing and really having a win after this year of ineffectiveness, I think that is something to celebrate. Not celebrate within the cause of the Dakota Access Pipeline victory, but celebrating in the cause of activism, peaceful activism, using new media, using peaceful tactics, using many groups coming together to have a voice that uses social media and gets the attention of mainstream media to a degree. I think that's something that we need to like take that win and use that as the momentum to go out into the world and do more. Because as the another meme that is just becoming so clear is like, look, the fight is, we live in a war state now in terms of like the battle against fascism and oppression. Like everything that is coming out of the president-elect's cabinet and actions, everything about it is like, we are in for 4 years of having to watch everything and be aware of what's trying to be done to against our best interests. So going back to Don't Panic, if you're in for 4 years of fighting, you can't be in fight or flight. Your system will flip out. You cannot maintain adrenaline rushes for that long. You can't stay in a panic state. Your nerves will be shot. So you have to find a way to be at peace, be a calm warrior, recognizing what's going on. And, I think that, as we learn more about what's happening and what did happen and what is continuing to happen at Standing Rock, I think we will be learning more about how they're a model for that too. You know, there's, a lot of people, some of the stories that came out, people went out to the camps full of big ideas and how they wanted to help and were kind of like, simmer down, sit down, know your place. In fact, a lot of the things that I read about, hey, if you're coming out here, first thing you need to do, go to training. Second thing you need to do, listen. And then listen, and then listen, and then listen. Because chances are your big idea, whatever you want to do, we've thought about it, we've talked it through. So we just need to stay calm and listen to the elders, listen to those who are experienced and be more humble about it. So I think, the tone of the day for me and the one that I'm taking away from all this is yes, the new normal is one where there is obstacles and challenges at every turn. But the new normal is also finding a way to not live in anger and panic in the face of all that, so that we can be effective, so that we can still enjoy our lives and still celebrate while there's also things that we wish we could change. There's always crap and cone. There's always good and bad. And the important thing is to deal with the crap while you're dealing with the crap and celebrate the cone when you're eating the cone. And don't set down your cone just so that you can say, as long as there's crap in the world, I will never enjoy ice cream again. You can make that choice. I don't think that makes us into effective activists and warriors to be total martyrs towards joy or of our joy. On behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the love warriors, Happy Hug Nation. I love you.